Well, thank you, Brother Cruz. One of these days, we're going to get him to sing in Spanish for us. Did he do that at the Senior Patriots yesterday? Did he? How many of you saw him at Senior Patriots? I think they had about 160 over there. It was a real good crowd. I saw him that morning. He was fixed up, let me tell you. Anyway, we appreciate him very much. And thank you for that good message and song, Brother Cruz. I want you to open your Bibles tonight, the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, I'm planning on being kind of easy tonight. Don't intend to skin nobody on purpose that I know of. Some of them deserve it, but I'm going to leave them alone tonight. I'm not going to even tell you when the next big war is going to start. Just going to be a little bit light. Proverbs, I want you to go with me. I believe I want you to go to chapter 14, Proverbs. I'm going to read several verses, but I'm going to kind of park on verse 12 out of chapter 14. I want to speak to you a little bit on the subject tonight. It's the end that counts. Think about that a little bit. That's taught in the Bible quite often, you know, several different books. I get a lot of blessing out of reading Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. I know it's not the deep stuff, but do you ever catch yourself reading those books and your heart just says, boy, that's true. you just relate to it because it is true. It's practical experience, maybe something you've experienced in life and so forth. And it's put in there. It's part of the Bible, too. And it's good instruction for us, and very good instruction. If you get over to the book of Proverbs and understand what the Lord is actually doing with the Proverbs, you'll understand a little bit better. It's a book that does a lot of comparison. And often we learn by comparison. Proverbs is written by Solomon. It's the best book of philosophy you'll ever get. So I took a course in philosophy. You'd be better off to study Proverbs, most likely. It gives states the causes and results and values of both good and evil. It compares them. It establishes the laws of absolute right and absolute wrong. It's not like this politically correct atmosphere we're in today where everything is just kind of a tattletale gray. Nothing is black or white. It's nothing right or wrong. And it's the method Jesus used, really, that method of comparison, as he taught, as was here on planet Earth. Uses similitudes to sort of sit along and say, you see this? Well, it's like this. And it teaches us. It gives us a something to compare to. If you go through the book of Proverbs and you take the word but, B-U-T. Now, that's a great word in the Bible. Did you know that? That's a conjunction. Thank God it's there. You think about a verse like, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The comparison there. Crosses the street and gives exactly the opposite, maybe. The wages of sin is death. That's bad news. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's good news. Makes the comparison as it kind of crosses the street. Looking at it here with me now in the book of Proverbs, I want you to go to chapter 14, and let's just read on down, kind of easy reading, right on down through about verse 12 anyway. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but, count them now, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. There's a positive and a negative here, tied together by that little word, but. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock of sin, but among the righteous there is favor. When the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And here's the verse I want to kind of use tonight a little bit. Well, maybe the next two. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now that verse is repeated in chapter 16, verse 25, almost, well, word for word. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. I want to get back to verse 12 just for a moment. There's a way which seemeth right unto man. Now, it doesn't say it seems wrong. It says it seems right. But it is the way. It is the way of death. Now, do you not understand what that's saying? Something can seem right to you and be wrong. It's very easy sometimes for us to say, and how many times you ever heard somebody say, well, my conscience be my guide. You better watch it. That won't work. Sometimes it'll mislead you. In fact, the Bible says your conscience can be seared with a hot iron. In other words, it can be deceiving. And as I look on it here and I think about the truth that is taught here, it is the end that counts. I'm going to choose a way. You're going to choose a way. Is it going to be the right way? How do we know which way it's right? It's how it ends up. How does it end up? Where does it take you? Where are you going? Now, the text is talking about that the end counts. I think about the fire chief that died. Been there many years, and some of his men was asked to say something at his funeral, and they were not too used to it, and so they were having a little trouble, and one fellow got up, and he was trying to think of something good to say about the chief, and he was trying to say some stuff, but finally he said, he latched on to it, and he said, he's gone to his last fire. That's not too good. Amen. Now, it's the end that counts, brother. Don't matter how many sweet things are said at your funeral, it's where you're at the time that really counts, isn't it? You know, we like for things to end right. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to spend my time reading a novel, and I haven't in a long time, used to quite a bit, but I want it to end right. Do you ever get disappointed after you've waded through 300 pages that's a mess in the end? I don't like that. I really don't. Isn't it the end of a game that counts? In watching some of this football, you know, sometimes it comes down to the last 2 minutes or the last 30 seconds or the last field goal that's kicked. That's still the end, brother. That's what counts. That's what counts. That's going to make the difference. Well, so it is with life. Life's very important, how it ends, how it finishes up. Now, let me give you just a few thoughts tonight, and while I may not go to all the verses, everything I'm going to tell you can be proven probably from the book of Proverbs alone, certainly some of the other books, but let me give you just a little formula to follow, and again, this is a little bit on the easy side tonight, but to begin with, is anybody in here that wants to end up wrong? Don't raise your hand. Please don't. Now, wrong could mean a lot of things. It could be that you wind up with a lot of folks saying, thank God he's gone. Hope not. Went to my friend's funeral, Brother Clyde Lanier, pastor over at Westwood in Winter Haven. Pastored just a few months there, longer than I have here. And they'd done a great job at the funeral service, but they had a lot to work with. They had a faithful preacher, stuck by the book, done the job, ended up right. I thought about that. You know what? It's good when you wind up with folks loving you and folks speaking well of you and folks being blessed and your influence living on. That's a wonderful thing. Sadly, that don't always happen with everybody, and we understand that. Let me give you a little bit of a formula here tonight that we work on a little bit. To begin with, if you want to end up right, number one, don't envy sinners. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs and pick it up in chapter 24. Look at the first verse. What good practical advice this is. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Now, you know what he tells you? He tells you, don't keep company with that crowd. Don't envy that crowd. Don't want to be like that crowd. Don't want to learn from that crowd. And yet, you know, that's exactly what we're doing. As a population today, Hollywood feeds us slop and we gobble it up. Comes into our living room through the TV and all the rest of it. And while we say, oh, I'm discerning, and thankfully we can be to some degree, but even the commercials stink. Even they're embarrassing. And the truth of the matter is, if we're not careful and our young people growing up, they want to dress like that. They want to color their hair like that. They want to wear the pants down below the bottom. They want to get out here and talk and act and look just like that crowd. And the Bible says don't do that if you're saved. That's not right. That's wrong. I want to tell you young folks, look out for your lifestyle. It's a big old neon sign that tells what's on the inside of you. Tells what you think about things. And I don't want to dress like that crowd. By the way, how do they end? See, it's their end that counts. Oh, you say they're making big money. They're a star, whatever that means. But look at it, how they end. You know, most of them end in a drug overdose. Many of them end in suicide. And I'll tell you what, if you could see what they really like in many cases, it's not what you see on the screen. Not at all. You don't need to be copying their lifestyle. And by the way, it's the end that folks will remember. If I say President Nixon, you know what we remember? Not how good he was in fighting communism, but that he had to resign his office in a scandal, don't we? If I say Lance Armstrong, what do you think about? Boy, he could pedal those bikes. He was a strong man and all the awards he won, but how did he end up? They found out he was cheating with the drugs. You see, it's the end that counts. It's the end that we're going to remember. That's the way it is. And I look around today and I see young people, and I hate to say this, but a lot of young people start smoking because they are envying somebody older. They don't really like the taste of that thing. It strangled them the first time they sucked the smoke out of it. But Big Brother did it, so I must do it. Daddy does it, so I must do it. And that's exactly today what the devil is using, as he sets the wrong example, and we come along and we want to find it, and next thing you know, sucking the cigarette becomes a security blanket and you can't let go of it. That's the way it hooks, you see. And all said about that, you could say about the dope scene. And by the way, this marijuana thing that Florida's getting into now is just as wrong as it can possibly be. It's a lie to say we need it for medical sake. No, it's going to crowd the emergency rooms. I tell you what it's going to do. It's going to cause more wrecks on the road. It's going to cause more young people to be out of their head and do something crazy and do something wrong. And yet, here's what we got in the state. We want to tax sin and make money off of it. That's, you know, alcohol is justified because we can tax it and make some money. The lottery is justified. We'll teach our folks to gamble away their paychecks instead of paying the rent and buying the groceries for the kids. We'll teach them to. And on the road that advertises the lottery, go on down to the end of it, they'll have a sign saying, if you're addicted to gambling, call this number. Now, that's about as stupid as it can be. This sign says, let me hook you, play the lottery. This sign says, if you're addicted to gambling, call us, and we'll take the tax money and treat you. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy, isn't it? But when you envy sinners, young folks and old folks alike, that's what you're doing. You're following something that's deceptive, that'll hook you in the end. And like the proverb says about the alcohol, in the end, it biteth like a serpent. That's what it does. Don't envy sinners. If you want to turn out right, if you want to end up right, don't envy the sinners. I'll go on to say, if you want to turn out right, do fear the Lord. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I've heard this as a preacher all my ministry. Well, you can't scare me. I got news for you, brother. I don't have to scare you. You're already scared. Because God's got in your heart that you're not right with him unless you know Christ as your Savior. And you know what? You've got a fear that hell just might be there. It just might be real. There just might be fire in it. And I got news for you, you're wise if you listen to your heart when it tells you that. Don't be afraid to fear the Lord. Now, I know the intellectuals will say, well, that's a reverential fear of God. I want to tell you, sometimes it does you good to fear some things. There's some things I fear, and I don't want to mess with them because I know they're dangerous and they'll hurt me. I'm not going to walk out here and grab a hot wire that the storm knocked down. I fear that thing. You know what that fear will do? It'll keep me from getting electrocuted. Amen. And when it comes to the judgment of God and the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom is to respect the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is what's missing in our nation tonight, missing all around the world. I just got on it, but this crazy, crazy thing that's going on today is because the nation has now taught our kids in school, taught them on TV and everywhere else, don't fear God. The book says fear Him. Amen. Says it's wise to fear Him. You see this thing on TV, on the news, where they're going around knocking out folks, slipping up behind them and knocking them out. You know, that's a lack of fear of God. The Bible teaches you to respect your elders. That's a cowardly thing to do. I saw on the TV the other night where some teenager went up and just slapped an old woman. Now, that's ridiculous, and that is terrible, but it's going on. It's a game that they're playing. Now, hey, by the way, they may slap the wrong old man one of these days. It could happen. Old folks aren't as helpless sometimes as you think they are. Some of them got good trigger fingers. Amen. Some of them got more smarts than you think. I've told you this, but it popped in my mind. I think I have. Over in Winter Haven, they have the shuffleboard courts. And for the folks that come down in the winter, you know, need something to do, play shuffleboard. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I know you can get into it. It's all right. It's a clean game. But there's a pile of them. There's a shuffleboard court in Winter Haven over near Lake Silver. I guess it's still there. I don't know. It used to be a crowd of folks there that would be out there playing shuffleboard. I had a friend. He was a little bit younger than me, and he was always up to some kind of funny stuff, and pretty well innocent, but he loved to laugh. So he got some of his buddies together, and they went over to the shuffleboard court. And they parked the car right there close to the shuffleboard court, and they got out of the car and pretended to fight. Actually, they pretended for about three of them to be beating up the other guy. They had him on the hood of the car, and they were pretending to hit him. They wanted those old folks to be shocked. They just wanted them to holler and scream and show fear. The next thing they knew, they had those shuffleboard staffs all over them. Those old folks beat the fire out of them with those shuffleboard sticks. And they were hollering, "We were kidding, we were kidding." Nobody was listening. They were all hard of hearing. So they just beat the fire out of them. And call the law. Somebody called the law. This was before cell phones. They had to go down to City Hall and have a hard time convincing the police they were faking it. And some of them blooded up pretty good. Now, the truth of the matter is, you better watch it. But we're in a day and time when the fear of the Lord's missing. We're in a day and time when we're seeing stuff like hitting old ladies and old men and stuff like that. It's crazy. And stealing from the aged. Did you see in the newspapers this week, they got this one guy's picture in there, and he'd gotten several credit cards from people that he'd gone out and worked for and tricked them on up in age, and he'd deceived them. Now, I tell you what, they ought to put him in jail and throw the key away. That's my opinion of it, for sure. Oh, I think of things I've told you before, but you don't remember them, do you? It's good to get old and senile, and I could just keep on. Trouble is, that's where I'm at. But what was it I was going to tell you? Sonia can tell you, we have had more phone calls in the last 3 or 4 years trying to con us after we got on up in years than ever before. And I had this one woman call, and I kept saying, "I can't understand you. What'd you say? What'd you say?" And she keep repeating and repeating. She was trying to con me big time. Sonia said I wasn't faking, that I really couldn't hear. But anyway, anyway, I played along the game pretty good for a while. And she was telling me to take a check to the bank and do this, that, and the other. And ultimately, she was going to get the money. And my name was Diane. I remember that, Diane. And finally, I kind of cleared my throat and spoke stronger. And I said, Diane, do you believe in God? She said, yes, Mr. Carter, I do. I said, do you believe God's going to send folks to hell that cheat old folks? Boy, she hung up. But you know something? This country used to have the fear of the Lord that caused respect. Even when I came here 43 years ago, we didn't care whether the church building was locked or not. For a good little bit there, we didn't. Boy, you better keep it locked now. You better keep somebody watching now. Things have changed. Used to be the church had a little respect even in the lost community, but it don't now. It's an easy touch now. It's something now we can get by with. We can do this. We can steal from it. We can go in and clean out the PA system or whatever else. We can do all of that. But I want to tell you, this nation is hurting as well as our society because we've lost the fear of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Now, America knew God. Did you see not long ago? Boy, the military is catching it. The chaplains can't pray in Jesus' name. They're fighting them on things of just common sense. How many of you have been to a funeral when you saw the military there and they fold the flag? Boy, it's a unique thing the way they do that. And they give it to the veteran's wife or family. You seen that? And you know what they'll do? They'll go up there and they'll make the presentation on behalf of the United States and the president. And the last thing they always said was, God bless you. They can't say that no more. That's against the rules now. You don't say God bless you anymore. Hey, by the way, when the president speaks, he can end his speech and say, God bless you. They hadn't stopped him yet. And they shouldn't stop anybody. And they want to take God out from the pledge and the flag. They want to take in God we trust off our money. And it's amazing how they're creeping forward, getting a little here and getting a little there and a little more, and changing our society and bringing the judgment of God Almighty on a nation that used to know God. But we're forgetting God. We're forgetting God. That's so wrong. But you know what? Our attitude ought to be that we don't pay that any attention. We do fear the Lord. If you want to finish right, and especially if you're saved, here's some good instructions. Don't envy sinners. See, the whole advertisement world wants you to envy sinners. I want to dress like this one. I want to buy a car because I saw it advertised on TV. By the way, you better not try something with your car that you see advertised on TV. It won't work that easy, I can tell you that. And the truth of the matter is, though, they're trying to sell us all the time because, you know, through the eye gate, we look and we lust and we desire and we grab for it. And that's what advertisement is all about. How many of you ladies have to go shopping to see what it is you really needed? Think on that one a minute. The truth of the matter is, most of us men, I used to be, but now I'm sissified men, I can't speak for all of them. But I say this, generally when I go shopping, I know what I'm going after. And I walk in and I find it, and I don't even haggle the price. I either get it or it's too much and I leave without it. But here's what the women do. And they see all this stuff they needed and didn't know it until they saw it advertised. Now, ladies, that's just truth. I won't ask you to raise your hand. I'm tempted to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you ever went and come home with something you didn't go after? Amen. Might as well tell the truth. But the truth of the matter is, that's what the world wants you to do. They want to guide your life. They want to direct you. They want to spend your money. They want to tell you what you need. And you'll go out and you grab for that stuff. And they got you there leading you by, as it were, by the nose into something. And I tell you the truth, men, we also are guilty of it. The truth of the matter is, if you're not careful, somebody will con you in this day and time we live in. But the way you get the victory over it. It's fear the Lord. What would he want me to do? You know, one of the biggest things that changed my life after I got saved was simply this. I began to develop a consciousness that God was seeing me all the time. Do you know that's true? You know, here around Christmas time, we hear the stuff about Santa Claus, you know. You better be good. He knows whether you're good or bad. He knows what you've been doing. Well, Santa Claus don't, but God does. God does. And to develop a consciousness that whether anybody else is looking or not, God Almighty is looking. I think about the little boy going through the cafeteria line, and there was a basket there of apples, and the sign on the apple said, "Only take one, God is watching." He went on past the apples. After he got his one, he whispered to his buddy, he said, "You can get all the cookies over here you want. God's watching the apples." There's a whole lot of folks think God's looking somewhere else. No, he can see the apples and the cookies at the same time. He sees all that we're doing. And I remember so well when I got saved and the Holy Spirit moved inside of me, I remember getting this consciousness that it's not whether I'm doing right or wrong in front of somebody else, but God is looking. That's the kind of fear of the Lord that'll help you walk straight. It'll keep you going, doing right, if you just keep conscious of that. Now, let me say this. I'm telling you, if you want to end up right, don't envy sinners, do fear the Lord. And you say, well, why? Because all things come to an end, including our lives. They're going to come to an end. And at the end is where it's going to count the most. It's the score on the ball game at the end that counts, right? And at the end of our life, what's it going to total up to? You know, I don't know a lot about it, but in the old days, there was something placed, some value placed on a burial, having a funeral and being properly buried. Do you know that's in the Bible? Oh, yeah, it is. I'm trying to think someplace I can show you quick. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, look at verse 10. "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity." I go back to Ecclesiastes again, chapter 6, verse 3. Just listen to it. You don't have to find it. Listen to it. "If a man begat 100 children and lived many years, so that the days of all his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he." Now, you say, what is this business about a burial? Well, it's talking about your end. Do you know a fellow that has a good burial means probably he had some loving family, some loving friends that wanted to do right by him? There's a comparison several times in the Bible concerning just that thought. If I went over to the book of Jeremiah, over in Jeremiah, you have a little comparison. Chapter 22, verse 18. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah." Now, Josiah was a good king. But here's a son that done bad wrong. "And so concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, ah, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem." See, if a donkey died, they hooked a rope to him, pulled him far enough away you couldn't smell him. Now, he's talking about a man that's so bad that the people didn't lament over him. They didn't cry at his funeral. They didn't give him a burial, that he'd have the burial of a donkey pulled out and discarded. Do you understand in the old days, and I don't know much about it, used to be cemeteries around church buildings. You ever see them? A lot of them still had them. The church Stephen pastored in Georgia had a little cemetery right next to it. Do you know there was a time that you had to be a fairly decent citizen to get buried in that churchyard? Amen. And if you were a child abuser, you mistreated your family, you were a criminal, you done bad, there was a lot of churches that can't be buried in my yard. Even the Catholic Church has some rules, or used to have, on that. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying your end matters. What folks think of you when you die is important. We don't put much on that today. And this burial thing, we don't understand a whole lot about, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And I think it's talking about the way a man ends up. And I say to you that we ought to want to live a life. I remember a funeral home called me many, many years ago. More than one time, right here in town, more than one time this has happened. One time I'm thinking about in particular. They said, preacher, we have a man down here. We've got to bury him. We know of no family, of no friends. Nobody's paying for it. Sometimes we call that a county burial. That means it's on the taxpayers, whatever it is. And they have very, very cheap cardboard type casket. Just very, very cheap. And they said, will you come down and do a little ceremony? I said, well, I don't know the man, but I will. I went down there, and there's nobody there hardly but the employees of the funeral home. And you know what? I had to be one of them that helped carry the casket, load it in the hearse, and take it out to the grave, and say some words over somebody I didn't know. Now, that's not a good burial. I thought about it that day. Thank God, I believe I have enough friends that some of them would come anyway. And you say, well, that's not important. He's dead. He went to heaven or hell. I understand that. But I'm talking about no influence for good left on this earth. Nobody cared. Nobody knew. That's a sad thing, folks. That's a sad thing. We look around today and we see so many folks wanting to live a false dream and live in a fantasy world, and the TV's fooled them, and I want to be like this guy and this rock star and all that. Elvis Presley died of a drug overdose. Now, he was popular, but I know they still say they see his ghost every now and then. I sort of doubt that. But anyway, I will say this. I knew two preachers personally that bumped into Elvis, and each one of them were soul winners, and they asked him point blank, Elvis, are you saved? And both of them said he quickly told them he was. You say you think he could have been? He could have been. He could have been, but he wasn't pleasing God with that lifestyle. And he died of a drug overdose. Now, I understand, man, it's a popular thing today, but I want to tell you, young folks, he was living a fantasy life. It wasn't real. And some of the preachers that talked to him said he was miserable with himself. And some of his bodyguards said that when he began to get old and began to get a little fat and began to get a little out of shape and he began to do his concerts and the young girls didn't quite go nuts over him like they did when he was young, his bodyguard said in the back behind the curtain he would lay down on the floor and kick his feet in a tantrum because he knew he was losing it. We'll all lose it on this side. The good thing is live where you got something on the other side. See, the applause of man always dies down. It always dies down. It's not much to start with. The truth of the matter is I want to live my life in such a way I end right. Come down to the right end that would be pleasing to the Lord. You know, Christians, if you're saved tonight, your life's not your own anyhow. You're bought with a price. You're supposed to give it back to God. You will never lose by giving back to God what is His. You never will. Somebody said, I guess it was Jim Elliot, if I can remember the quote. He said, a man is a fool to keep that. See if I can get it right. To keep that he cannot give away. Somebody help me on that. You got it? Matt said no. He was dreaming. You're closer than me. It'll come to me halfway home. But the truth of the matter is, the point is, you're a fool to try to keep that you can't. And you need to give up that. to the Lord. And the truth is, you win that way. And I should have had that quote in my mind, but I didn't. But as a Christian, it's never good to try to keep it for yourself. See, the Bible says there's one event talking about death that happeneth to all. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. We understand that. But I want to tell you, there is two ways to die. And I'm not talking about being shot or poisoned. I'm talking about two ways to die in this sense. You die in honor or dishonor. You die right or you die wrong. This verse here said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It'll fool you. It'll fool you. Any preacher has seen folks die both ways. I'll tell you that. I could tell you many stories. I think about an old man in our community where I pastored at first. He was mean, boy. He would not let a preacher get close to him. My deacon lived across the road from him. My deacon would try to talk to him and finally got to where he could talk to him over the fence a little bit. He lived by himself in an old house there. And my deacon realized after a few days, one time, he didn't see him. And so he went looking for him, and he was on the floor. He was almost dead in his house. And the deacon called, and they took him to the hospital, took him to Leesburg Hospital. And he kind of revived up for a couple of days, and my deacon went over to see him. And he went in there, and the old man was on the bed. He was talking, seemingly in his right mind. And my deacon thought, one more time I'll tell him about the Lord. One more time I'll try to get him saved. One more time, he ought to know he's awful close to going over. And he tried to speak to him, and here's what the old man said. He kind of laughed, and he said, standing right outside my door right now is the devil. And he's waiting to come in and get me as soon as you leave. Brother Floyd said, I thought he was just bad-mouthing again, but he said, I left. He said, before I got out of the hospital, the code lights were blinking, and the buzzers was going off. And he said the old man was dead before I could get out to the parking lot. Maybe the devil was just waiting on him. That's one way to go. That's the worst way to go. Unprepared to meet your Creator. To go into eternity without a Savior. With your sins on yourself. That's one way to go. I think about the old grandma I've told you about before when I stood at her bedside, stood at the foot of the bed after she'd been pronounced dead. And she sat up in the bed and opened her eyes and raised her arms and welcomed the angels. She said, can't you hear the music? Preacher, I know you can see them. Tell the others. I couldn't see them, but they were there. They were there. I'd like to go like grandma went. With a welcome home. Amen. Welcome home, thy good and faithful servant. Oh, I got a lot to answer for at the judgment seat, but bless God, I'm going to go in the arms of my Savior. I'm going to be presented as one of his trophies of grace to the Father, with my sins paid for on the cross of Calvary and my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, that's the way I want to go. That's the way I want to end up. How about you tonight? You want to end up right or wrong? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Please don't be deceived. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you have not only family and friends and loved ones that would gather at your funeral service and speak well of you? Most important, would you have a warm welcome on the other side? That's the thing that counts. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we commit invitation to you. Lord, I preach to your people tonight, even to myself. Lord, if I know my heart, I want to end up right. Lord, I don't want to step in your presence in shame. Dear God, I would ask for help with the weakness of the flesh and the sins of omission that I certainly have on me. Times I could have done better and done much more and haven't. But Father, if I know my heart, from the time you saved me on, I've been conscious that your eyes were upon me, that you wanted me to go the right way, that your Holy Spirit tried to lead me. Father, I thank you for that. And I pray tonight for your people. Some of them may be following you far off tonight, Lord. Some of them got their eyes on the advertisement and on the world, and they think that's good when it's wrong. It's a deceptive way. It's the way of death. Lord, help us to be wise and discern and realize your book tells us what is right. Bless the invitation tonight, if there be one here unsaved, that they'd step out and come and receive the Lord Jesus.